Goto-san, so you obviously inherited the house from your parents, and that was natural for you to open your first property in your first business in that property. But after you started running this hospitality business in the countryside, did you never think about doing anything like that in the cities? It was very clear for you always that you want to stay in the Inaka?
って思ったことはありますか？
No, because city size is so strict nowadays. New rule allowed. Can't get money. And there's a lot of enemy. The countryside, like Yamanashi Prefecture, my living prefecture, number one, the empty house in Japan. 20% house are empty.
Folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over two decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. All right, so just a quick reminder before we get into today's episode. Early bird discounted tickets pre-registration for the Japan Real Estate Summit is now open, and you've already been putting your names down. So as always, if you haven't yet, don't wait for the last minute. Our speakers and sponsors, realestate.jp, Arc Reform, Tokyo Family Stays, and of course, us here at NTI, Shiki Properties, Yen Loans, Akiahab, Axolotl Capital, Innovatius.com, MailMate, and Assist, Tatemono IQ, Akiamart, and at least one new speaker, which I'll be happy to announce, Simple Host, which provide hospitality property AI management software. We're all going to be there, plus perhaps a few more guest speakers, which we'll announce very soon. And between the lot of us, we cover everything you want to know about the real estate property market in Japan. From mortgages, whether they're home loans, investment loans, or financing for your holiday condo in Japan, hospitality properties, minpaku, yokan, and hotel licensed, Airbnb and all other booking platforms, deal analysis, business relationships in the industry, how-to guides, hands-on workshops, property and portfolio management, renovations, repair, rebuilds, you name it, all topics covered with presentations and workshops by the top experts in the country, 100% in English, over an entire weekend, 17th, 18th October, Saturday and Sunday, in person at the Tokyo International Forum or online via the stream, and most importantly, enabling you to become a part of the super vibrant and supportive community of Japanese real estate property enthusiasts and professionals that's been built around the event over the last few years. So this is our eighth session, and the event very quickly became the biggest and most comprehensive industry event in English here in Japan, thanks to you all. So hop over to our website, nippontradings.com, where you'll find a link to register for those discounted tickets. Make your travel arrangements if you're attending in person, or clear your calendar and make sure you've got a good internet connection available if you're tuning in from home via the stream. In both cases, you'll be able to network with other participants and attendees, float questions to the speakers to be answered live on stage in the main room. And if you're attending in person in the breakout room sessions as well, we can't wait to see you all again very, very soon. So for today's conversation, this is part one of a very long two-session interview that I've had with Hayato Goto-san and Naomi Kai-san, the co-authors of a phenomenal book that I've had the pleasure to read again and again, I should add, very recently. The book is called The Rural Japan Hosting Blueprint,
And as the name implies, it's all about setting up the infrastructure that you'll need to run a hospitality property in the Inaka, the Japanese countryside, profit from it, and scale it to a fully blown portfolio. Goto-san has been doing this for a good few years now, and his co-author, Naomi-san, has been picking his brain and beautifully putting down his thoughts and advice in English. And the result is a book that if you, like me, are interested in this topic, you simply will not be able to put down, guaranteed, or at least that's been my own experience. And so we talk about how the book came about and what the writing process has been like, about Hayato-san's personal and professional background and how he ended up being a rural hospitality operator, how to set up the proper infrastructure for a scalable hospitality business, why you might want to consider choosing rural Japan over the big cities for this type of business, the differences between self-managed and outsourcing to professional management, two very different business models, how to choose the right location and property to maximize profitability, how to maintain high rankings on Airbnb and other platforms, which naturally translates into more bookings, how to deal with customers promptly and professionally to increase that ranking, evaluating properties, evaluating renovation costs, and much, much, much more. And again, this hour-long interview is just the first part of our conversation. We go even deeper in the second part, which I'll publish here next week as well. And both Hayato-san and Naomi-san will also be with us at the summit, of course. But meanwhile, here's our first conversation with them. Have a listen, and I'll see you again on the other side.
Okay, so the Japan Real Estate Podcast has got a very special guest, two very special guests for you today. And we've got Hayato Goto-san here, who wrote this phenomenal book that I'm trying to show here on the screen if my background. Thank you, Naomi.
Okay.
Rural Japan Hosting Blueprint, which is all about buying, prepping, and then running what are usually Akiya properties as hospitality properties, or minpaku or yokan licensed properties, hotel in licensed properties, specifically in the Japanese countryside. So not in any of the big cities like a lot of the people that we speak to here on the podcast are doing, and not even in smaller little medium-sized cities, but right out in the countryside. And we'll get into the book in a minute and explain the mindset behind it all. And the word blueprint, I think, is very apt because it describes not only how to set up and run one of these properties, which is what a lot of people are dreaming about, but how to actually scale that into the infrastructure and the system required to actually do this again and again on a regular basis, of course, on a profitable basis. And we've got with him, so the book, I have to say, the book, I obviously, being the ignorant gaijin that I am, only read the English version of the book. And I was blown away by how well it's written. And that is, thankfully, that is Naomi Kais, who is our second guest, responsibility, because she's a prolific writer in her own right, but more important in the context of this particular book. I don't know, what do we call you, Naomi? Are you a ghostwriter, or are you a translator, or are you a little bit of both?
Well, a little bit of both, yes. My main job is, my main career is a translator, but I do write book as well.
So, but before we dive right into Goto-san, and I've got so many questions to ask him, but how did you guys get together? How did you guys meet? How did the project come about in English?
Well, we first met 12 years ago or something like that,
a long
time ago, yes. And we've been working together since then. He is what we call like branding producer. And
okay.
Then, yes, but now we work as business partners. And then this, I was working on writing English books for Amazon.com. And then I got the idea of, well, why don't we write an English book for you, like for your minpaku business? And that's how it all started. And it was really quick after that. Yes, I just wrote the book in a matter of, I don't know how many, like a couple of weeks or so. Like, I was so focused. And it was a great adventure.
I'm curious, what's your process like? Do you sit together in a room and you kind of suck the information out of his brain and then you go home and write it?
Yeah, no, but I mean, I already knew the content because we talk every day, and he would talk to me about all the issues or all the rules and regulations, And so I had a really good idea of what the Mindfuck business was about before diving into like writing the book. But of course, I didn't know the details, like the numbers, of course. And so I would ask him questions. I would send him a list, like a whole bunch of list questions, and he would answer them to me in Japanese, and then I would translate it into English, and then I would put all of that into the book.
Okay, well, then technically, not to insult Goto-san, but we've got him as the author on the book. This is actually your book out of his brain, right?
Which yeah, yeah. As the I really picked his brain, yes.
Fantastic. Okay, so as you can see, again, I'll try to bring it up to the camera, but okay, maybe you can't see, but the book has already got bunny ears because I've been going through it like crazy again and again and again.
Thank you so much.
And I've also, this might offend you, Goto-san, but I've also made a lot of notes in the book itself and on the cover about pages that I want to keep getting back to and ask questions about.
That's perfect.
And highlighted stuff in it. I think it's a compliment to authors, but some of them might take it.
No, it's a huge compliment. Thank you.
So I want to start. We'll get into the book in a second. But so just to clarify for me, was there a Japanese book and this is the English spin-off, or did this start off as the English book?
No. I did first write it in Japanese because I needed to make sure, because I needed him to verify the content, to verify the numbers, the facts. I didn't want to invent anything in the book, so I did write it in Japanese first. After every chapter, I would send the chapter to Goto-san, and he would read the Japanese, and he would say, okay, or this part I need to correct, and then as soon as we would lock the that chapter, I would then translate it into English, and then that's how we wrote 10 chapters together. Well, we kind of wrote it together. I mean, he did read everything in detail, and he made the necessary corrections. Yes, of course.
Yeah, his depth of expertise is very clear from the book. I've got no doubt that that this information definitely comes from him. But it's beautifully written in English. So kudos to you on the writing skills. Is there now a Japanese version or an English version of the book being sold?
No. There's only an English version. But he will book proposal for a Japanese version, not exactly the same content because it's going to be, a Japanese target, not for foreigners. The book proposal was accepted by a traditional publisher here in Japan. So, he's just waiting for news from his editor about like who's going to be in charge of editing his book. But so there will be a Japanese version, not exactly the same content, of course, but there will be a Japanese book as well on the same subject.
Yeah, I mean, naturally, it couldn't be the same book because there's a lot in here, which, again, we'll dive into in a minute. There's a lot in here that speaks specifically to foreigners and even more specifically to non-resident foreigners,
right.
To people who are managing these kinds of operations remotely. And that's one of the first points that I loved about the book is that it very clearly says that this is not a book about how to gain residency in Japan. And
right.
Goto-san makes it clear several times throughout the book that regardless, and we'll dig into it in a minute, but regardless of how and if you might end up living here, it's very achievable to be running hospitality properties in Japan, even if you're not physically here. But before all that, Goto-san, first of all, thank you for writing this. It's a fantastic book. I'm very curious because I've read a little bit about your personal background, and Naomi mentioned branding, which explains the background behind you on the screen there. But I'd like to hear a little bit more about your personal history, your business history. How did you start your career path? What did you do before, or what are you still doing except Minpaku or ryokans, and how did you end up doing that? Can you give us the like a manga comic book origin story number one? How did you start?
My first job, mainly job, was a hairstylist actually.
Okay.
I worked for a hairstylist from I'm 24 years old. I opened my hair salon.
Okay.
And then maybe I made tanning surgery. tanning studio and shot bar. I have four different types of the shop.
Okay.
After that, I started a produce business. Because do you know the really popular guitar Greco and Ibani? Do you know?
Ibanez,
maybe that company that started the person, president, maybe I produce him.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So my producer maybe name is going up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After that, maybe I produce maybe Miss Contest, maybe Champion Woman business,
mm-hmm.
contest, mm-hmm. beauty contest. And then, but I started maybe and publishing book produce too.
Okay.
So yeah, this is my background. Maybe so now, this is maybe I have an old house. Actually, this house is my father built. So long time ago, 70 years old, he made. That is the kimono shop. Mm. But the father died, mother died, this is empty. But my that old house is next to a person asked me, actually, I know person want to check your inside. And if possible, he want to start the hotel business, this okay. home. So if maybe my neighbor ask me, almost I may decline. But I already have a relationship. He's maybe my friend, old brother. I can't decline. Also, okay, just I can show. And then, hotel business company president really have an interest about that house. But suddenly the COVID-19 come.
Mm.
And maybe that plan to stop.
Right.
Maybe 2 years or 3 years, maybe plan to stop. The I think I just maybe what should I do? Just maybe pending. So I asked again to hotel management company boss. So she want to maybe start to plan again with you. So I and maybe. I and him they started this hotel business. And I just give to one condition to president. Because I don't want to use money because this is not my business, not my main business. So I don't have any know-how. I'm afraid of the hotel business. So maybe he said, I try apply the government. If the government, if my
private subsidy, subsidy, yes,
subsidy
for the
subsidy.
Government to pay for the work.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and if his plan goes through, I get maybe $5 million money.
Okay,
so
for renovation and repairs.
Yes, renovation okay. plan as a renovation cost. So if you will get this money, and I can get the renovation cost $5 million. I can start. That I give the condition. And house management, hotel management company, the president got money. And we use that $5 million money as a renovation cost. But not enough. So I added $3,500,000.
So you did invest money.
Yeah. in the end, I have to pay.
Yeah,
because that president say, "Oh, this is finished." I asked, "This is finished?" No, not finished, not perfect. I saw also embarrassed to my friend. Already, when this starts, this no. Can I more renovation is okay? Yeah, the president. Oh, if you use money, your money is okay.
Oh, so, okay.
It depends. So maybe roof painting, the maintenance painting, and a lot of maybe I bought maybe furniture or something.
Furniture.
Maybe I use a $3,500,000 500,000. In total, maybe 8,500,000 it cost as a cost.
Yep.
And then we started that business, and after that, now I have a building actually. I was 33 years old. I built my building. So first floor my hair salon. The second floor tanning studio. And the real estate.
Rental properties, apartments.
Apartment.
Okay.
So before a long time ago, Japan is so popular the tanning business.
Yep.
So I already 3 years old maybe doing the tanning business. But
30
years.
Yeah, 30, yes.
Like this.
Yeah.
But
Goto-san actually built the tanning studio for himself. Like, he built it because he wanted to use it himself to get a tan at the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
beginning, I bought a tanning machine inside my hair salon.
Hmm.
And I made my, just me.
Yeah.
I want to tanning. So my hair salon maybe... A client asked me, can I use this machine? Oh, no. Also, I thinking, I have to make tanning studio.
Okay.
My hair salon, the second floor, there may be tanning studio. That's a good business for me.
Yep.
This area, the number one the popular tanning studio I made.
Yen Loans are a sponsor of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. They're a non-bank lender offering financing to both residents and non-residents of Japan for purchases of condominiums, as well as equity release cash-out financing against properties that you already own in Japan, whether mortgaged or fully paid off. They cover all of Japan's major metro areas, Greater Tokyo, Osaka, Kyoto, Kobe, Nagoya, Fukuoka, and Sapporo, offering a full nationwide footprint for all of your condo purchase financing needs. No residency, incorporation, or Japanese bank account is required, and the application process is highly streamlined. They have legitimate backers, highly reputable, and I can personally vouch for their founder, Mark Drapkin. Yen Loans welcome your business. Reach out to them at yenloans.com and let them know that you heard about them on the Japan Real Estate Podcast to receive 50,000 yen off your loan application fee.
Where is the area, by the way, your family house and the second building, where exactly are they? Which city?
Osno Village.
Okay.
And my tanning study, my house is maybe Fujiyoshida City.
Fujiyoshida City.
So close to Mount
Fuji.
Fuji?
I have no idea where that is on the map. Can you help me find it in my mind? Where exactly? North of, south of, give me some landmarks.
Oshino,
do you know
Fujikyu Highland? Fujikyu
Highland, wakaru. Close.
Oh, close to Fujikyu Highland.
Okay.
Maybe 5 minutes by car.
By car.
Okay, so central Japan, about an hour and a bit west of Tokyo.
By car, maybe 1 hour, little bit over. My house to Shinjuku.
Got it.
1 hour, 15 minutes or so.
Yep, that's what I thought.
By the highway. And this area too, World Heritage.
What World Heritage site?
One of the maybe so popular shrine.
Mm-hmm.
Shrine?
Name is Fuji Asama Jinja. World Shrine. World
okay.
Heritage.
Okay.
Another one is Oshino Hakkai.
Oshino Hakkai.
This is a World Heritage too.
What is Oshino Hakkai? What is it? Is it an old town?
Eight pond, and maybe so water is clear and clean, yeah. And underground all connect to this area lake.
Oh wow! Okay.
Connect. So maybe just automatic, maybe like maybe hosping water hosping, just yes.
Yeah.
And then maybe I started to produce, and maybe I thinking that nowadays just tanning such not popular anymore. Making money, but not small, not big. So yeah. I asked to maybe hotel company president, I have a plan. What do you think? I will build maybe a hotel, from tanning to hotel. What do you think? He said, good. So maybe in the end, I made more three hotel. And then from 2026, hotel the president, hotel company president maybe ask me, if you want or you possible, I pass to this management all job to you. You can manage. So I said, oh no, I'm not professional. Just I need time. Just in the meantime, I made one small room and try manage. If maybe going well, I started all management. So okay. 2026, this year, I started all hotel. I'm owner, I'm the management too.
Okay.
I got maybe, I just using Airbnb system. I got maybe super host position, super post host position, so nice host position.
Yep.
And my four hotels are maybe got all maybe guest choice hotel.
Okay.
That's the, yeah. And well, maybe just this is a half, I have to say just money. Maybe now, maybe inside your question, 2026, now the August, my hotel that maybe seller number 12 million over.
Okay.
And but just one hotel that maybe started this year July, so almost three hotel the seller number just together that maybe 12 million over. So maybe good business, I think.
Grossing. Okay. So
and the cost is maybe just a cleaning cost,
yep.
Or maybe something.
Water, okay. The utilities, the regular utilities. Yep.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into the numbers a little bit later. I have so many questions about the numbers, but I want. So this is still a side business for you, right? It's not your main business. You're still doing your usual. Business. Okay.
Yeah.
But how does it compare with your rest of your income? So you've now got three, just got four, but let's say three properties that are already running for a while. How does the income compare with your normal, with your other business income?
Actually, maybe I have a hair salon business and a consulting company I have.
Yep.
And nowadays, just before I just a side business, hotel business, but from this year, this is a hotel the business the income so up.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe I feel possible nowadays.
Okay. Potential, so you think it could turn into a full time like it could turn into your main source of income if it keeps improving or if you keep expanding.
Okay. Hotel business so. Funny business, a little bit. Just the beginning. We have to use time.
Yeah.
I have to use time, like open before open job, and then just made a website inside maybe Airbnb. After that, almost just a checks cell phone.
Right.
So we don't need a job.
This is if you have the infrastructure in place. So if you have the cleaners, if the check-ins and check-outs are automated, the rubbish disposal happens as it should be happening, then you just need to check or handle emergencies, right?
Yes. Almost my job is maybe just I receiving a maybe reservation message.
Yep.
And the reservation calendar. And a screenshot, yep. And a pass to cleaning company.
Yep.
So they check, this is a check-in, this is a check-out, maybe calculate and sorting, setting, maybe check-in, all them job. And sometimes maybe guest ask me question, maybe from airport to your hotel, what way the number one convenient for me as, and yeah. maybe from station, maybe small asking, but already maybe just almost maybe setting or automatic mail. And
so normally, you wrote in your book, I think you wrote in your book towards the end, you write that actual work is maybe approximately 1 hour per week per property. So if you have yes. three or four properties, maybe 3 or 4 hours per week when everything is running automatically. But of course, sometimes you have an emergency, right? There's something yeah. is broken, a guest cannot enter. Yeah. You wrote a very funny story about what the Karas did to your rubbish when the cleaning company didn't show up on time. So including all of the emergencies, what do you think is the average time, including emergencies, what's the average time that you spend, let's say, every month?
I using time?
Including emergency.
非常事態、なんか特別に対応しないといけない時間も含めたら、だいたい1ヶ月、月何時間ぐらい、各物件に対して何時間とか何分費やすのかっていう質問。
一週間で考えると、まあでもほとんどないんだよね。その、本当に特別なそのトラブルの時は別だけど、でもそれもほとんどメールなんだよね。
Oh, most of the trouble, like most of the emergencies are handled through message texting.
Just maybe if I have to go to just a hotel, until now, maybe 5 times or so. Already start maybe 4 years or so, 5 years or so, 5 times
okay.
more.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe once a year. You have yeah. to go and handle something.
Right. By himself, yes, personally.
And when something happens, let's say you get a message and there's some kind of emergency, you're a businessman, you're working probably most of the day.
Yeah.
Is it very common that you have to just stop everything and take care of it? Like, okay. for example, if you're sitting in a meeting and suddenly,
okay. Oh. I keep imagine person. That's case. My case, this is my building second floor. So I can do the my hair salon stuff to go.
Yeah.
And my wife too. But normally, yeah. maybe owner maybe live in the sofa. There the distance case, maybe beginning, or maybe if imagine situation, maybe just a cleaning company, the contract. Cleaning company maybe, oh, imagine situation, send it to cleaning company, cleaning company may maybe adjust. So one time, imagine situation, we decide maybe cost. That's case. My okay. case, maybe all my clothes. So I can, but, and also, if I can manage, but I do, my family, my hair salon staff, or, if I can't, my case, maybe just green company staff may adjust.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, offering a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for sightseeing and visiting, remote work, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens, and they're just a delight to stay in. Fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which, if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know are tiny and noisy. Fine for a night or two if you're on your own, but longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in one of those. So, if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home with comfortable Western beds, all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed short-term stay operator. And as a special bonuses for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, got a property that you want to tweak for higher profit or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it, drop them a line today and see how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listing without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home or in and around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now, back to the podcast.
I understand that there are emergency response providers that he can contact when there's an emergency, but the guests would normally be contacting him first, right? So then he has to contact the cleaning. So yes. He needs to be the first line of defense, the first responder.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, so what I'm trying to understand is, how often does he get a very urgent mail or text message or telephone call, and he has to drop everything and take care of it? Because the reason I'm asking this is because when people are in different time zones, like the remote owners, or even people who are in Japan but are working, for example, in a traditional Japanese company, it's very difficult to respond on time when an emergency happens, especially if you're on the other side of the world and it's
in the middle of the night. Yes.
So how often does that happen?
Beginning, maybe I can select Airbnb system asking me which maybe contact way convenient. I can select mail or telephone.
But it still goes.
I select mail. So every maybe travel that maybe mail to me.
Yes.
But one of the solution, maybe I setting a lot maybe automatic mail. I already know trouble my head. So automatic setting mail maybe. So they don't need a question anymore.
Okay, so that's reducing the frequency in which they'll actually have to contact you, because a lot of the questions and emergencies are answered automatically.
And also until now, I explain question. One of the trouble, toilet not flush.
Oops, yeah.
Maybe just, I think, just foreigner guess maybe throw out garbage to inside the toilet. So can't flush. This is one. Another one, maybe, I remember now. Germany young guys, five guys. So sensitive, they are the dust.
Yeah,
or hair. You know,
the hair, and maybe. So, I find this hair, just one. I go first. Maybe I flush. Maybe I make it flush.
Yeah.
The toilet, and then maybe I talk to them. Can you give me one hour? I can pick everything. So I want to present to you maybe dinner. My hotel is next to the Japanese restaurant.
Yep.
You can eat everything. I can pay later. Yeah. So I need one hour to joking something. You are cool something. That your face is a deep, typical your country the face something. But they're laughing and maybe, I need just one hour to fix. They give me 5 star in the end.
Okay. Okay.
And another trouble is maybe, number one, just I don't know. Toilet flush.
Hot water. Hot water, maybe, or
water. This is maybe one hotel guest. I can't use hot water.
There's no hot water.
But my grandchild maybe close the bulb. Why?
Little naughty boy.
Like a small gang, maybe open the bulb and close. Yeah. And maybe guess they can't use maybe
water.
So I pay back all maybe costs.
Okay.
And my hair salon staff not all daytime grandchild maybe something played at this area and this and maybe okay. Right. Oh, why close?
Yeah.
4年、5年目かな、mm. やってて、緊急対応で行ったの5回ぐらいかな。
Yeah, so he's, yeah.
About once a year.
Yeah. あと、それと、だから一番大事な、そこの、maybe it's owner the living place, the sofa, maybe owner have to select a beginning. Imagine she's a person.、
Mm-hmm.
Imagine she's a person. Or、yeah. maybe asking the clean company.One time immersion adjust how much?
Get some agreement with the cleaners that
yeah,
they
almost can... they accept. Okay. They already okay. know all just inside more than host owner.
Okay, so if you're remote, meaning if you don't live near the property, whether you live overseas or you live somewhere else in Japan, it's absolutely crucial to have an emergency response person or company or staff member, right?
Yes, because the government maybe condition 10 minutes. Imagine she has maybe some maybe person in charge arrive at a hotel 10 minutes.
Yeah, of course. This is every city has its own regulations about how automated it can be and how physical a person needs to be, how close to the property a person needs to be. But what you're saying is, even if the city doesn't force you to do that, you have to have somebody who can take care of problems. Otherwise, like in the case of the hot water not working, or in the case of the toilet not flushing, if you don't fix that very quickly, then that will harm your review and that will harm your bookings, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because one of the reasons now there may be Japan, maybe hotel business, maybe guests, maybe nearby the claim is a lot.
A complaint.
Yes, that's also yeah. a thing.
So yeah. maybe imagine the person that may be very important as a go through government.
Yes.
Apply.
I know that we, my company, we don't handle Minpaku or Yokan directly. We do it via companies that do that. But we do handle a lot of holiday homes, Beso, on behalf of customers. And the neighbors, we have to introduce ourselves to the neighbors, explain to them that the owner is living overseas, but we're taking care of the property. If there's any issue, please contact us. I think it's very important to keep a good relationship with your neighbors if you want the business to be successful. And it's also very important, personally, I think, for the image of foreigners. In your case, you're a Japanese person who owns these properties, but if we want to keep a good image of foreign property owners in Japan, then we also need to make sure that the neighbors know that this is not somebody who owns the property and doesn't care and just goes away. This is, there's somebody taking care of it, right? And also you mentioned, I mean, the whole book is about specifically properties in the countryside, right? So rural Inaka properties. And I want to read what you told Naomi and what she wrote here on page 10, because they're really beautiful paragraphs, so I want to read it. The reason, I think this is the reason you decided to cater to countryside properties, and you mentioned this from the perspective of somebody who is visiting Japan. So a foreigner who comes to visit Japan 1, 2, 3 times, and then they find themselves, on the second or third trip, they find themselves looking out of the big cities, right? So I'm going to read this, if you don't mind. Tokyo, while extraordinary, is not the part of Japan you find yourself thinking about late at night when you can't sleep. You go further out. You take a train into the mountains. You spend the night in a yokan in Hakone or Takayama with a futon on tatami flooring and an onsen at the end of the hallway. You eat dinner at a restaurant with 7 seats where the chef nods at you when you finish each course. You walk through a quiet street at 6 in the morning when the only sound is the rasp of a bamboo broom on the pavement outside the shop that hasn't opened yet. That is such beautiful imagery for me. And I think it's for many foreigners. Yes, this is exactly what Japan. Not that, again, not that the big cities are not amazing, but
of course.
This sort of traditional, almost back in time kind of feeling that you get when you go to rural Japan, I think that's what attracts a lot of people who want to relocate to these areas. And according to what you write about in the book, both of you, and that's also where you can get extra value from a business that's operating hospitality properties out of these intense competition places and well-trodden tourist paths. So I'm wondering, Goto-san, so you obviously inherited the house from your parents, and that was natural for you to open your first property in your first business in that property. But after you started running this hospitality business in the countryside, did you never think about doing anything like that in the cities? It was very clear for you always that you want to stay in the inaka?
No, because
city size is so strict nowadays. New rule okay. Around. Can't get money. And there's a lot of enemy. The countryside, like Yamanashi Prefecture, my living prefecture, number one, the empty house in Japan. 20% house are empty.
Okay.
Wow. So maybe number one, the important, maybe have to select popular area. There is a golden route. Inbound came to, foreigner came to Japan. That case, there is a golden route, such as Kyoto, Hakone, Fujisan, Ginza, something. So that's it, so popular.
Yeah.
And maybe enemy is so small, and the government, the rule is not strict, maybe easy.
Okay. Some
of the areas, but I mean, some places, for example, when our customers asked about Miyoko or here in Kyushu, Itoshima, sometimes the local government is not that friendly to Minpaku, right? Sometimes they make it hard even in the countryside. So you have to pick the area where the regulations are easier, right?
Yes, maybe.
Minpaku business is not any kind of business. Sometimes they're a bit more strict about Minpaku or Yokan compared to, for example, a hair salon, right? Because there's many people coming in and out and with suitcases and a lot of foreign tourists. So sometimes they make it a little bit more difficult, right?
There's a two way. One, maybe foreigner inbound, maybe guests that come, like a little noisy, the nighttime there will be some noisy something, but they have to use money.
Mm.
That's still this area, the person can get money.
Yep.
So maybe two way, I think normal persons are like a noisy feeling, the complaint, but government, maybe another, maybe company, the really glad.
Okay.
So maybe difficult.
It's good for business. It's good for to promote the area too, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Normal so the government is a bit more tolerant with the complaint.
Tolerant, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
This area, my area, is maybe government, so welcome.
Okay. Okay, I want to ask specifically about the subsidies. So you mentioned that the government in the case of your first property, the city gave you 5 million yen for renovation. Go ahead, Kumangura. Those subsidies are usually not available to people who are not residents in Japan. Is that correct? Because we've been asking some local municipalities when our customers bought properties. And they said, this is only for residents. If you're a resident and you're living in that city, then you can get a subsidy for renovation. But if you're a foreign holiday home or Minpaku house owner, those subsidies might not be available to you. Did you look into that? Do you know any particular prefectures where even non-residents could get subsidies?
It depends on government condition, have to ask.
Mm. Yeah.
Sometimes change, sometimes maybe stop, sometimes new.
And even the 5 million yen, it's no longer...
Just 5 million, maybe...
It doesn't exist anymore, right? I think.
So, yeah. But nowadays, a new Prime Minister, Mr. Takaichi, maybe say, Maybe nowadays, city, maybe a lot of maybe foreigner, traveler, maybe just a city.
Yep.
They want to fix. So they want to use money to countryside. How do you say 600億円?
Wow.
600億円. That's $60 million, I think.
Oh. Prime Minister Takaichi maybe say,
no, $6 billion. Sorry, $6 billion.
Yeah.
Maybe 600 million or 6 billion? I'm not sure.
Well, nowadays, maybe a traveler, maybe gather city side. So they want to share to spread to all Japan countryside. So maybe they're using money, that's money.
As to a direct support. The tourists out of the big cities and into the countryside.
As a support money.
Yeah.
If you're actively looking at property in Japan, you should check out Mokomoko. It's the Zillow of Japan, built for buyers who are actively hunting for a home in Japan and want a much more Western-style web browsing experience than the typical local sites provide. I've got an exclusive 30% off promo code for the Mokomoko Pro annual plan that gives you full access to Airbnb zoning maps, hazard maps, sold data, and over 500,000 listings nationwide. If you're serious about buying in Japan and want an easier way to search, this is a solid tool. Use my code ZIV, Z-I-V, at checkout, or click in the link in the show notes and get 30% off the Mokomoko Pro annual plan. And now, back to the podcast.
Do you think, because, yes, that's true that the current government wants to solve the tourist problem, but the current government is also not so friendly to foreigners. So what we are feeling, our customers who are planning to buy these properties and maybe turn them into yokans or hotels, they're a little bit worried that it's already became more difficult for foreigners to open a business in Japan. They're a little bit worried that the government might make it even more difficult. And maybe if a foreigner owns a yokan or a mintoku property, they're going to be more strict compared to Japanese owners.
Maybe I think, it's necessary. Maybe foreigner may try this business. First, beginning, they contact the Japanese key person.
Okay.
And that together, government something.
I see.
That's easy.
Get a Japanese business partner.
Yeah, Japanese business partner, so easy.
Yeah.
Just
so
maybe.
It's a lot easier if you have, I find this myself when I do business in Japan, it's a lot easier if you have a Japanese face to show everyone involved, and not just the government, also customers, staff, service providers. It's a lot easier if you have a Japanese face to the company, right? So the same applies in your case.
Yeah, this case, not foreigner, Japanese too. Maybe if I go to maybe government alone suddenly, maybe some type of the person bring, so easy. So Japanese.
What do you mean? What kind of person? What kind of person would you bring with you?
Like a real estate company, boss, okay. Or just a
or hotel person. Management company, or
yeah.
Okay.
Maybe just maybe
a professional.
Like a deep. He lived in Japan a long time and started the business. Already he have a career in Japan. That's the problem. And they speak Japanese.
Yeah, I see that too. When we have Minpaku management, Minpaku Kanri is doing all the inquiries about the licensing and that handling the application, everything is a lot smoother.
Yeah.
Obviously, because they know what they're doing, but also because I guess the municipality likes to see that there's a professional involved, right?
Right. Rather than having just a foreigner just come to them and.
Yeah. Okay. I would like to get into the numbers a little bit, if you don't mind. To the So you first of all, you mentioned at the one of the last chapters is breaking down each property and how much you spent on renovating and preparing it. But it doesn't tell us how much the properties actually cost. So I'm wondering the total investment, not just the renovation, but also the cost of purchasing the property. If you could break that down for us for each of the properties. So the house you inherited, but how about the other three properties? How much did you actually buy to pay to buy them?
First, also old house, I include the government money, give me money, maybe just I 8,500,000 old
house for renovation. But the government doesn't give you money to buy the house; they just give you money for the renovation, right?
Yeah.
But he didn't need to buy the house because it was already his, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And the next
That's
my
the first one. Yeah, I know the first one.
Brick hotel. Brick yep. hotel. I using 3,500,000 yen. Renovation cost.
500,000. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. 3,500,000.
Yep. But how much did the, how much did you pay to buy brick hotel?
I was young, maybe. I was 32 years old, I built.
He built the house when he was 32 years old. He built that building, the brick hotel, the whole building that, that contains the hair salon and the three brick hotels now. He bought that building, or he built that building when he was 32 years old.
Okay, so... You had to buy the land, right?
Yes.
How much did the land cost?
In total, building the land cost maybe 100 million. How do you say ichioku?
Ichioku, yeah. Ichioku. About $700,000 at the moment, or 600 something thousand dollars at the moment. So that was the land and the building and the construction.
Nowadays, Japan maybe so cheap land. Just land and maybe and land on the house.
Property.
Yeah, house is normally no price.
If just you buy an old one, yeah,
old one, yeah. The old. And then my just renovation cost maybe old house made 8,500,000, and the brick hotel is 3,500,000. And then another two hotel, maybe max three person, each has 500,000 each other.
Renovation. But again, you had to pay money to buy the land and the house, right? Not brick hotel, the other two properties.
When he was 32 years old, you mean?
No, brick hotel he built when he was 32 years old.
Yes.
And the house, the kimono shop he inherited from his parents.
Yes.
There are two other properties that I'm assuming he purchased.
No. They're all inside his building. All three brick hotels are on the second floor of his building. When he was
so
30
like
years
old. Apartment.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, so he built that building when he was 32, and he opened a hair salon on the first floor. The second floor, he created a tanning studio, and he had two rental apartments. And he was a real estate agent, he was renting out those apartments for many, many years.
Ah, okay, so he was a normal landlord, and then he converted it into a hospitality property.
Exactly.
Okay, I understand.
Nowadays, the Japanese person is really suffering about the parent house. Yep. They already have a house. They can't manage their parent house, but they have to pay to tax.
Yep.
Once a year.
But they stand there.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
So they should convert, you're saying something profitable they could do with it is convert it into a hospitality property. And if that's mendokusai, they can get a foreigner to buy the property and convert it instead of them.
So in the past, if the parents owned a house and then they would pass, and then the kids were able to leave the house alone as empty houses. Without any problems. But nowadays the rules have changed, and they have an obligation to register, and that's why that causes
they pay a lot of property tax every year if they just leave it like that.
Right. So it's not profitable, and it's troublesome for them. So they want to get rid of the houses as soon as possible. So Goto-san is saying that from now on, there will be an increasing number of such houses that are...
there has been, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay, so let's let's say that a foreigner, whether they live in Japan or not, comes in and he buys one of these older houses. Let's say it's, I don't know, 40, 50 years old house. He bought it in a good location, good land, but the house is 40 years old. And Goto-san writes in his book about the checklist, what you need to make sure that is not going to cost you too much to renovate. And he mentions, well, two of the things that you mentioned are the roof and the plumbing, the pipes, right?
Right.
So,
oh, electricity?
My question is, working with Atiyas for a long time, again, mainly as holiday homes for people, the roof and the pipes in a 50-year-old house are always in bad condition. How do you find an Atiya that has good roof and good piping?
Have to ask to maybe real estate company president beginning, check out. Normally, number one, maybe renovation, the cost of the height, maybe roof and the pipe line. それは難しい、difficult。
難しい。
Maybe inside, I can see the floor outside.
No. Of course, you cannot. Yeah. So we have to do tatemono shindan, of course. And whenever we buy a property, we have to do a structural inspection.
Yes.
But most of the time, the structural inspection will say the roof is not good, the piping is not good, right? Because it's a 50-year-old house. It's totally normal in Japan. So can you find old Akiya that you do an inspection on and you find out that there's no problem, or old Akiya where the seller already renovated the roof? I mean, the roof sometimes, but I very rarely see any Akiyas where the piping has been replaced.
It depends, yeah, the Akiya condition. It depends. Yesterday, day before yesterday, when I take a walk, night takeout, I checked the two house actually.
Okay.
Oh, this is how much? Maybe I find maybe internet, new one.
Yeah.
And a bit, little bit maybe just expensive, but maybe internet price, website price maybe 60 million.
Mm.
But I sent to my friend professional. So he said, oh, just 5 million value.
Nice. Okay.
But he said if you talk to maybe that company, I can buy just 5 million. Definitely go through, he said.
Oh, negotiate.
Yeah.
That's a big negotiation though. Usually when we tell Fudosan that we want to negotiate this much, they don't call us back anymore.
So maybe just I have to fix something cost maybe added. Maybe so.
Yeah.
So I have to buy this price.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but that's usually what happens is, right? Because when a Japanese person buys an old house like that, they're usually thinking about demolishing and building a new house. They're basically just buying the land. But when a foreigner buys these kinds of properties to use as a holiday home, they like the feeling of the old house. And you mentioned in your book too, that for hospitality properties, that old Japanese house feeling is exactly what the guests are looking for. So if we are buying this house, we're not like a Japanese person who wants to demolish and build. We want to retain, restore, we want to fix it up. So we're buying it with the existing low price. So let's say 400万, 500万 ぐらい. And then we're going to put another 400, 500, 800, 1000万 into it to restore the roof and the piping and the insulation and the termites and the retaining wall or everything that needs to be done to restore that house to livable standards. So let's say the total price, even if I bought it for 5 million, like the house you looked at yesterday, the total price would still be 1600万 ぐらい. But is it still worth it to turn it into a hospitality property?
I'm not try.
He wouldn't try it. He wouldn't buy that kind of house.
Number one, nowadays maybe rule is strict, but the management company the job is no good, and the owner maybe give up, want to sell. Already started, yep. Maybe can start maybe just they have a license. That's case number one, easy. M&A.
Oh, so if someone has been running, operating a minpaku from until now, and the management company was not doing a good job at it.
Just old house, no. New house is maybe Sera is good. Because most case maybe foreigner did like old house, no. So clean, convenient, maybe normal house, no problem. Like my hotel. I have a four hotel, just one hotel is old house. My another maybe brick hotel that maybe guests almost foreigner. So that case, no, they priority not Japanese taste hotel, no. Convenient, clean.
But in your opinions, if you think like working with a lot of foreigners, you see that most foreigners prefer those old sort of kominka style houses. Is that what you're saying?
They prefer it, but also according to what I read in the book, and I agree, the guests prefer it, right? So the buyers prefer it because they like that old style for their own holiday home purposes, and the guests staying in them also prefer it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Maybe that house, a close area, so popular area. So the house values are not high, no problem. Normal house is okay. Just around of the values are a lot.
Oh, if there's a lot of value, added value around, so if there's a World Heritage site nearby, or if the access to Tokyo is really
just the house is just clean, they just convenient, okay. But just a hotel is that maybe place is so countryside, the around area not sightseeing area, so they have to give to value to this hotel. But another one, this popular area, middle of the maybe position, this hotel, the hotel is just clean, okay, convenient.
Okay, so you would definitely not recommend, you definitely would not recommend to buy a very old house that needs that much work. You would recommend to buy something younger, make it look nicer, and most importantly, make sure that the area is attractive for tourists, that they would come there for something to see or something to do in that area. So don't buy, because we have a lot of people who say, okay, if you can buy in somewhere where the land is very cheap, there's it's not famous for tourists, but you can promote the area and say, you can go hiking or you can do this or you can do that. So you can promote the area activities and then you can make that location popular, but you're saying not to do that. Go for a location that is already popular.
It depends, maybe strategy, but number one worry point, have to use money a lot. Renovation. Yes. The renovation.
Okay, so definitely don't
two type.
Don't buy too old or too bora bora.
Two type. Just one area is the value, have a value. That house is maybe just clean, okay. Clean and convenient. Yep. The area not value, that doesn't have a value. They have to make value inside the hotel.
Amazing experience inside the house.
Yeah, amazing. But all foreigner, not all foreigner doesn't like just old house. Some parts of that maybe clean, convenient, maybe normal bed.
Modern
good.
Kitchen or fancy toilet and bathroom. Yeah, of course.
Which explains, of course, why his brick hotels are also very popular. His kominka, his gofuku is, of course, very popular because of the very traditional look. And a lot of foreigners love that sort of Totoro's feel. House. But some foreigners love just convenient and clean and modern as well.
Yeah. I guess the marketing would be different in both cases.
Marketing,
Inside just a listing, Airbnb the listing, highlighting a big difference.
Yeah. I understand.
Just my opinion. This business is great. This business is great.
Oh, this is great.
I recommend.
No, we totally agree. I'm just trying to make So you provide a very, very good infrastructure. I want to break it down into smaller details so that people are aware of, for example, when I was reading the book, I wasn't quite sure that I understood correctly because, people you were mentioning, people like the old style and the traditional Japan.
Of course.
I didn't realize, and I'm very happy to hear that actually you think exactly as we do, that you're not talking about buying these old Boro Boro houses just because they look nice in the picture, like a Totoro house. You're actually recommending not to get into those headaches. That was exactly what we recommend. So I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
Maybe doing a hotel business and the owner maybe give up, want to sell up. That's the number one good.
That is really good. Yeah. But there's not that many of them around. But yes, I agree. We're helping some of our customers sell a few of those, but it's difficult because a good house is not gonna be cheap. Right? People read about cheap houses, cheap Akiya. And they think you can buy anything and just turn it into a working business. It's not the case at all. It's not going to be cheap. Could we reschedule the second meeting?
Yes.
I'll get back to you online and we'll reschedule it.
Yes. Thank you for your time. Yes, I had a
This is amazing. We have to continue soon.
Okay. You invited me.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Talk to you very soon.
Bye. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
So there you have it, The Rural Japan Hospitality Blueprint, fascinating book, and huge part thanks to Naomi-san's phenomenal writing skills, and of course equally thanks to Goto-san's expertise and live case studies, strategy, examples. I cannot recommend it enough. If you're considering this sort of business venture, or even just for some eye-opening insights on the hospitality business here in Japan and what that entails, like many things here, a lot of it can be quite counterintuitive, not exactly what you'd expect or encounter back home. So grab yourselves a copy on Amazon today. We'll link to it in this episode show notes. Or even better, come see them in person. Grab your copy at the Japan Real Estate Summit, coming your way next month, 17th and 18th October, Saturday, Sunday, at the Tokyo International Forum and online. Now, we can't let you go without telling you about MailMate, our sponsors and business partners. They offer peace of mind for your property in Japan. They'll make sure that your taxes, your utility bills are all paid on time, liaise with your management company for you, or assist with your parcel delivery while you're out of town. Get in touch with them on mailmate.jp today and mention the Japan Real Estate Podcast for 10% off your first year. And that's it from us for this episode, folks. Huge thank you for tuning in. Please do follow and subscribe to the show if this is your first time listening, and we'd love it if you could like and even share this episode with anyone you think might find interest in it. But even more importantly, we love hearing from you. So please let us know what you thought about this episode or the podcast overall in the comments section here on our social media channels. We've got a very active Facebook group and business page, both under the name Japan Real Estate on Facebook. And that's also the name and URL of our YouTube channel if you'd like to follow us there, Japan Real Estate on YouTube as well. And we'd of course appreciate your rating or review on Spotify or on the Apple Store or wherever you're tuning in from. Hope to have you with us again. Have a great rest of the day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.